Now, British women wearing a hijab are facing work discrimination as employers prefer hiring non-veiling wearing employees. And lawmakers have warned that Muslim women who wear headscarves are routinely being passed over for jobs and that this has now become, quote, an acceptable form of discrimination. A UK government inquiry found that employers assumed hijab-wearing Muslims are submissive and weak. Some Muslim women have even had to abandon their Islamic dress code in order to get a good job. Now the report calls for urgent action to tackle rates of unemployment in the Muslim community. Latest figures reveal that on average, more than twice the numbers of Muslims don't have jobs compared to that of non-Muslims. And I want to apologize. I introduced our correspondent there before I even read the story for you. But now I share the story with you. Here's Mohammed Walji joining us out of London, Press TV correspondent there. Hey, Mohammed, nice of you to join us. Now, women denied work based on their choice of religion, not something you'd expect from a country such as the UK, but it obviously is. Your thoughts?
Well, unfortunately, this is the case in the United Kingdom. There is a huge problem of rampant Islamophobia. And this report by the Women and Equalities Committee just further gives evidence of this. We can see from this report, if we look at some of the figures, that 69% of British working age women are in employment. Whereas if we look at the figure of Muslim women of working age in employment, that actually figure stands at just 35%. So that's a 34% difference, a huge difference there. So let's try and examine what these issues being faced are. The report said that Muslim women face what's been called a triple penalty. Number one, being a woman. Number two, coming from an ethnic minority. And number three, being a Muslim. And being a Muslim was by far the largest obstacle that they face in finding employment. Now, also, I've been speaking to a few Muslim women who struggled with finding work or who have actually, some of them are just afraid of looking for work. Some said to me that they were worried about applying for jobs because they were afraid that if they were in an environment, a working environment, it could potentially be hostile. And because we're seeing this climate of Islamophobia in the United Kingdom, they were fearful that this would translate into the work environment and they wouldn't feel comfortable and they wouldn't feel safe. So let's try and look at how the government and how ministers, and we can examine how this problem can be rectified. So MPs have challenged ministers right now to find a solution to this problem because it is a huge problem. And one way is actually what they're referring to is name blind recruitment. So what that would mean is when a person applies for a role, their names would not be on the application. All that we would see would be the skills, the qualifications, and the experience this individual has. Because what we found, there's evidence of this now, is that Muslim women are facing discrimination because of their religion. So when an employer sees the name of a Muslim woman, they may think twice about hiring them, despite the fact that this is actually illegal under the Equality Act. So this is one way, potentially, by having name-blind recruitment, could tackle the problem. But some campaign groups have said this doesn't go far enough because, let's say, for example, somebody does get to the interview stage. A lot of Muslim women that wear the hijab, they're overtly Muslim. You can see that they are Muslim. And because of this Islamophobia we're facing in the country, they potentially may not be looked at for the job again. So what needs to be done? There has to be some sort of quotas that employers over a certain who have a certain number of employers must employ a certain number of people from ethnic minorities and Muslim backgrounds to help tackle and reverse this growing problem.
Thank you, Mohammed, for your report and your update out of London. That was Mohammed Walji, Press TV correspondent, joining us out of London.